All right, there we go. Sorry, guys. I was just saying, I hope we don't have any technical difficulties, but I was the one.
Right, you were the difficulty.
I was the difficulty, so sorry about that. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with John the Hawk Stevens and Tommy Thompson, bringing in some liquid encouragement, liquid courage. Super Bowl weekend. We got a bunch of prop bets coming on a little bit early today because of the Wolfpack basketball game. Wolfpack tips off at Boise State at 6 o'clock tonight, so we're coming on.
Pardon me?
In Reno. Oh,
you said at Boise. Yeah.
Versus Boise State.
Versus Boise.
But the good news is I'm going to call Nick Bogdanovich right now from William Hill. He's the head trader. And we're gonna get him on here and see if we can get him to give us some bets and kind of weigh the market right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nick, you there?
I'm here, guys. What's happening?
Not much. Where are you in Vegas? Are you in the war room right now at William Hill?
I'm approving bets as we speak. They're flying in at an alarming rate.
You know, it's funny because when you were living in Reno and we were hanging out, I used to always ask, how you doing? He said, they're pecking my eyes out. I mean, are they pecking your eyes out?
I have no vision.
Good deal. So I was listening to some stuff. You know, I think they're saying you guys might, on a national level, handle legally, not you, but like in the course of all gambling that's legal, you might eclipse it by like $200 million.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, obviously, Nevada is a huge, huge Super Bowl destination. Parties of 400 or 500 people are now maxed out at 50. So people will probably just stay at home, but they'll be betting regardless, no matter where they're at. And all these states have mobile. And when you have a mobile device in your hand and you can bet 600 props, you're going to turn over a lot of money. So, and the matchup's phenomenal for betting. So COVID may knock us down in the state of Nevada, but getting a record handle. But yeah, nationwide, it'll blow the numbers off the roof.
How many states is William Hill in right now, Nick? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't, but I'm thinking it's 16 or 17.
Wow, you guys are making a big move. Good thing I bought William Hill stock a long time ago, and it's at $4.
You're a smart man.
That's true. John, big boy's here. John.
What's up, Nick?
What's going on, big man?
I just was a little perturbed with that UNLV shirt you had on earlier, but other than that, it's good.
You know what? I didn't even know I had a UNLV shirt on. I'm not I grew up a Running Rebel fan. My favorite team in the history of any sport was the 76-77 Final Four team, the Hardway Eight, they called them.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I was born and raised in Vegas, but I don't bleed Rebel Red. I spent 4 years in Reno. I got a little a fondness for the Wolfpack.
Yeah, that's acceptable. I had a UNLV hat myself in the Larry Johnson days. Not to out myself, but it happens.
There you go.
You know, yeah, if the listeners are kind of curious what we're talking about, Nick did an interview today. I posted it on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. So it's on there. And you can see Nick gave an interview about the Super Bowl, obviously. And, you know, he was wearing a Rebel shirt. So, of course, you know, me and Nick being friends. I think my text to you, Nick, and you can confirm, it wasn't very friendly when I saw it, was it?
No, it wasn't. I was thinking of bringing in the authorities to see if that was a viable threat, but I did not call.
So, just for the record, John and Tommy, I defended the pack.
Good.
So, I want to get into the Super Bowl here real quick, but you know the reason we're on early today, Nick, is Nevada plays Boise tonight. Huge game. Pack coming off two wins versus your squirrely team down there in Nevada South. You know, beat the Rebels twice. Handled them pretty good, but you know now they're kind of stepping up and the number one team in the conference at Boise State at 14-2 right now. I think they're 10-1 in conference too. So you kind of been back in the pack a lot this year.
We've had Boise 4.5 all day. In fact, I just took a $3,300 bet on the Wolfpack plus 4.5, so I'm down to 4. But yeah, it should be a great game. Mountain West, the top of the conference is pretty good. Boise's a good squad. San Diego State's a good squad. Pack and Colorado State, not too shabby. So, it should be a good game tonight at Lawler.
Yeah, throwing Utah State. You know, the Pack schedule is very backloaded. You know, I think we play San Jose State. We play the 1, 2, and 3 teams, you know, and San Jose State in our final four series. I mean, that's a tough end-of-the-year schedule. But, you know, closing out the year, we're probably going to be able to find out exactly where we stand. Are they having NIT or CBI or anything this year, Nick?
I doubt if they'll have the CBI and the CITs, and I don't know about the NIT either, but yeah, I mean, you know, the Wolfpack's a young team. They're peaking at the right time, and who knows, maybe they win their conference tournament and go to the big dance in the entire state of Indiana. I guess they're having the whole tournament in Indiana. So we'll see.
Did you hear JD? He said, good place for coach. If the Pack can just get into the tournament, heck, what are the future odds?
Mr. Basketball there. So why not?
You know what? It's so wide open. I mean, what happens if you catch a one or two seed and one of their star players test for COVID, and that could happen. So it's going to be a wild March madness, to say the least.
It's happened to the Wolfpack as the favorites getting nipped. So maybe it's about time that they return the favor.
No doubt.
So real quick, before we get to the Super Bowl, I want to pin you down in this game. You said you'd only have the Pack tonight. You like the Pack at +4?
That's the only side I'd have. I mean, obviously, these two teams, they know each other well, play two regular season games, and usually maybe meet in the conference tourney, so they know their teams. I've watched both play. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think this one goes down to the wire.
What about the total? I actually saw I bet over 144 this morning. I actually just looked right before we went on air. It's actually a full point north up to 145.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pack will play with whatever pace the other team plays. I mean, if they play a San Diego State or Utah, they can play a low game. And if they play the more up-tempo teams like Colorado State or Boise, I think they can run with them. So I couldn't argue with the move up to 45.
All right, good deal. Thanks for all that info. I already bet the over in this game. I think it's going to be a good pace, like you said, Nick. And I actually took Boise at -4. I think, and the only reason is that sometimes I think the Pack starts a little bit slow in certain games and big games. And I think maybe Boise can jump out. Maybe I can come back and get the Pack at an inflated number. Maybe get the Pack at maybe 6 or 7 or 8, and then have a nice little -4 +6, 7, or 8 or something like that. That's my goal right there.
That's your game plan. Now all you got to do is execute it.
Execute it. You got to have a plan, right? So what about this big game on Sunday, Nick? I mean, you guys, like you said, they're pecking your eyes out with these sports bets. I mean, and I saw your interview. The most money on these prop bets, in your opinion, well, actually, you know, you probably have solid concrete knowledge that it's who scores the first touchdown?
Year in and year out, that's one of the most popular ones. MVP is a very popular one. The coin toss is a very popular one. This year, anything with Mahomes and Kelce is going to be huge. So, we can win the game and still lose for the day because that's how much business there is on the props now. The props make up about 50% of the Super Bowl handle, and it's just crazy. I mean, we'll have ton of six-figure decisions on these props.
Let's talk about probably the first decision of the game is the coin toss. Are you pretty balanced on that? And this is a silly question, but my question is that it's come heads, I think, 5 more times, something like that. It's
29, tails.
Or tails, excuse me. Tails, like 29, 25 or something like that. Do you guys have an imbalance on the coin toss? And if you do, do you ever balance it or you just let it go?
Yeah, we just balance. We just leave it. It's 0-5, reduced juice, either way. And we just try to write as much business as humanly possible. Just about 10 minutes ago, someone bet $7,200 on the tails. I wanted to drive to the location and shake him and say, what are you thinking? But, I mean, we'll write over six figures in the state of Nevada on a coin toss. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. I just scratch my head year in and year out. But people want to start the day off with a quick winner or a quick loser. So, good luck to everyone out there betting that prop. It's a great prop. I mean, you know, you can get jump started and get some in play money.
Do you guys still have the prop up? Who will receive, or is it just heads or tails?
No, we got both. Will the coin toss be heads or tails, and then we also who will receive opening kickoff.
So that means that the handicapper is trying to actually handicap the coach, and will they defer? Meaning that if for instance, a lot of people think that if Kansas City wins the coin toss, they'll defer. And a lot of people think that if Tampa Bay wins the coin toss, they'll want to take the ball because they want to go down and score and maybe try and get Kansas City behind the eight ball. So maybe the bet, Nick, is that Tampa Bay receives the opening kickoff.
That's how they're betting it. They bet Tampa up to -50 to have the ball first.
Minus 50?
You know, wow. Years past, there's been all sorts of studies on what coaches do. And before it used to be split, but Belichick, because he defers all the time and everyone thinks he's the best, the majority of them defer now, thinking they want that ball to start the second half.
Sure.
In case they need to put the foot down. So, yeah, it's interesting. But right now they are betting Tampa like they're going to get the ball first.
I bet it one time, and I bet the Belichick theory, and I won the bet. And I said, I'm never going back to that well, Nick. So I'm 1-0, positive EV with that wager versus William Hill. And you. I beat you out of that.
Well, just retire with the 1-0 record.
No, I have. I'm not going back to that well. Like I said, I'll be down in Vegas on February 18th for our big annual poker game, and I'll be taking some of your cash there too.
That's not real hard to do. I might be the worst poker player on the West Coast.
You were Barry Phillips. So, all right. Throw out some other stuff, Nick. What do you got? I mean, is there anything that you're going to – I mean, I know that you're – I don't know how much you wager anymore. If, you know, you're so consumed with making these lines and following the action. Is there anything that, you know, just from a third-party eye that you really like? I mean, is there something that you want to tout everybody on or have everybody just look at and make a solid decision?
I'll give you a few I like. One, the one I like the best is Mahomes rushing yards over. But buyer beware, the professionals pounded this under, and I don't like to go against the professionals, but in this one, I think they're dead wrong. We opened like 31.5. They bet it down to 21.5.
Wow.
I think the handicap there is that he's still not 100%. He's got his ankles bad or turfed or whatever, but he looked very, very mobile against the Bills. Fast forward 2 weeks later, he's only going to be healthier. KC's line's a little suspect. I think Tampa's going to bring huge pressure, and I think that'll force him out of the pocket. I think he gets 2 or 3 15-yard runs. I do not understand the move on that one whatsoever. So Mahomes rushing yards over.
Especially
the other one I like is over 2.5
go ahead.
People to throw a pass.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the professionals betting under there too, but I just believe that with KC's gadget plays, you know, who knows, Kelsey might have a shovel pass, end around, flea flicker, a fake punt, something. I just think there'll be a third party throwing a pass in that game.
Let me pause you right there, Nick. I bet that every year, and I think you got me on this one. I'm probably 0-15. I think one year,
probably.
I remember Wes Welker or somebody took one to the sideline and took a sack instead of just throwing it away get the attempt when he was outside the pocket.
It was Edelman.
Edelman. You remember that, Nick? That cost me money.
That was a really, really bad beat. He was lined up to throw it, and then when he didn't throw it, he was so far back there he was just supposed to toss it in the fifth row, and he didn't. a lot of people wanted to strangle it.
All right. So right now we got Mahomes over rushing yards, over 21. You're going against the wise guys. It opened at 31 down to 21. So you actually get a 10-yard middle on that, which is fantastic. I know you guys put up solid lines. And when, you know, you got a 30% or what is that, 31? You got a 10% move, right? Or 33% move just in the yardage. I mean, I'm gonna follow you on that. I always bet the over 2.5. You taught me back on that. What else you got?
You know what? I really don't have a whole lot other than that. I really don't. You know, that's the extent of my props. So you're right. I've been so busy. It's been an incredible. I've done 1,000 interviews, accepted 1,000 wagers, but I just those are the two that jumped off of the page at me.
All right, good deal. I want to talk one more thing. You know, we talk about we try to educate the listeners on how to bet this big game. And, you know, you always want to kind of design in your mind a game flow, you know, that way, if you think it's an over game, you look to bet a lot of props over. If you think it's an under game, you look to bet a lot of props under. If you think Kansas City is going to blow them out, you bet Kansas City props over, Tampa Bay possibly props under. So what's your theory or thoughts real quick off the top of your head on game flow?
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's how you got to attack it. But then you just got to be right and hope nothing goofy happens. But I have zero opinion on this game. I will let the listeners know the professional money is on Tampa Bay and the professional money is on the under. So if that helps anyone out there. But this is the big game. One game is not they can be wrong very easily. So, but that's where the smart money is on this game. But we'll see what happens.
You know, I'm with you, Nick. I want to go against, I don't know. I mean, I Tom Brady, to me, I know he's thrown for a ton of yards this year. I'm just not convinced right now. I think the New Orleans Saint game kind of got out of hand, New Orleans side, and, you know, Brady was able to capitalize on that. You know, I just, you know, you talk, you look at the Lakers last year, and everybody thought the Lakers were going to, the way their end of the year performance was, you know, and they're, oh, they're going to get beat, and then they just turned it on because they were complacent. And I think that Kansas City, I think they're 1-8 maybe versus the spread the last 9 or 1-7 like that. You know, maybe they're a little bit complacent. And a lot of those games, they jumped out to big leads. I mean, if you can tell me I can get 4 full quarters of Kansas City offense, I don't know how you can't bat Kansas City.
Yeah, they went 10 straight games without covering. Yeah. Like a little over 2 months. They burned a lot of money. But then when their only playoff game, they got real focused against Buffalo, took care of business. And I think you're going to get another big focused effort here, too. Andy Reid off of an extra week of bye is insane. It's like, I don't know, 20-2 in his career off of a bye. So with the extra week, it's the same thing. And they'll just they'll have plenty of different looks for this Tampa team. That I could tell you.
JD, you got any questions for Nick?
No, you've covered literally everything that I was going to ask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm the Howard Stern of sports interviewer.
You're unbelievable.
Tommy.
So, Nick, I do have a question about some of the props that you guys are offering there. Have you seen a huge movement, whether it's the price or the yardage or anything, that really just surprised you that you've had to adjust based on wagering?
The one I mentioned was Mahomes. The other one is Kelce touchdown. We opened yes minus 140. They bet it up to yes minus 180. Rarely do you see a receiver with a price like that. You may see a star running back in that range, but never a receiver. So I think Kelce scored in either 6 or 7 straight games. We got his over under of catches like 8.5, which is about as high as you'll ever see for any receiver. So the masses and I think the sharps are betting Kelce to score a touchdown, which I'm very, very shocked. It's $1.80 for a receiver.
Well, you know, I actually played Mike Evans to catch a touchdown pass. So I think when Tampa Bay gets down there, Mike Evans has such a big size advantage over the DBs for Kansas City. And I think he'll at least get a couple of targets if they get down there. So I actually took plus money that Mike Evans will score a touchdown.
Well, and I got the Rob Gronkowski to get a touchdown at plus 195. I saw it's dropped down to 175. But I think the fact that once Gronk catches another touchdown in the Super Bowl from Brady, that's going to put them as the number one above Montana and Rice.
Wow.
And I feel like they
nice
might
angle.
Just have that little, you know, little bit of pettiness in them, so to speak, of, hey, let's show everybody we are the best tandem.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, Brady has gotten the majority of the action for the tight ends during the playoffs. Gronk sort of disappeared in those 3 games, but we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, it's the big stage, and they've had great success in the big game. So, it's a very – we shaded Gronk more to have a bigger game than Brady. But like I said, Brady had his stats were dominating over Gronk in the playoff games.
And when defenses focus on to take Gronk away, obviously it just opens up Brady a little bit more when they go to the 2 tight end sets. So, all right, Nick, I know that you're busy. You know, I called you earlier in the week, and I appreciate, you know, you said you'd come on. You're a man of your word, and we appreciate everything you had to say. Anything, any parting shots you want to tell the listeners or anything?
No, just enjoy the game and find the winner. That's all. It's all about cash and tickets.
All right, I'll give you a call a little bit later, Nick, and I'll see you on February 17th.
We're going to send Ken down with some Wolfpack shirts for you.
Yeah, do that. I'll wear them.
All right, good deal, Nick. Take care, bud. Tell Thanks, the wife Nick. I said hi. Tell the kids I said hi, and I'll give you a call later.
All right, guys. See you.
Bye-bye. All right, listeners, that's the great Nick Bogdanovich. He's the lead trader for William Hill. We talk about him a lot, a good friend. I've known Nick for 20-plus years. And JD, and I've introduced JD to him, Tommy to him, and just a great, great guy. Probably one of the most brilliant handicappers in the world, in my opinion. His numbers are solid. And, you know, I never go against Nick. I ask his opinion on things. And if I like the opposite side, it only makes me pass on the wager, as a let alone to bet against Nick. I never bet against Nick. So that's it's always, a pleasure having Nick on. So with that, let's head off to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump right into the bunch of props. I want to see what everybody likes, and we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Wim Hill Sports Show. Coming to you a little bit early today because of the Wolfpack Boise State basketball game here in Reno. Wolfpack lane 4 and 145. We just had the great Nick Bogdanovich on the show. You know, he's the lead trader for William Hill. Trader meaning bookie, I guess. It's just more of a a polite term. He puts up all the lines. So everything that you're looking to bet on, this guy looks at it and approves it, makes the bets. If you see somebody minus three, you know, it's his stamp of approval, or he moves it. These prop bets, every prop bet he's went through with a fine tooth comb. And like I said, I've known him for 20 plus years. We talk about him a lot. And JD actually made the comment. He goes, you should just call him and see if he wants to come on, because people always say, oh, does he really know him? Well, yeah, he was my roommate for 2 or 3 years.
Right. And it's awesome to have that at your disposal. You know, that's the head honcho. That's the real deal right there. And that's, you know, you see him all over
ESPN, national TV.
Yeah, he's on CBS Sports Network all the time. So it's cool to have that capability.
Yeah.
And he's a good down-to-earth guy. He's not too big for his britches. Doesn't need to be wearing that UNLV shirt.
Right. Well, you saw the confirmation, John. I lit him up about wearing that.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'll show you the text of what I said. Oh, yeah, it could not be repeated on the air.
It's funny. I mean, he lives in Vegas. He's from Vegas. That's, you know.
That's true.
It's not like us going
and back. Just for the record, he said he likes the Wolfpack tonight. The reason we're on a little bit early is because of the Wolfpack Boise game. Like I said, Pack getting four at home, total 145. Opened up at 4 and 144. They bet the total up to 145. So money coming in on the over. Big money actually early on Boise. Went up to 4.5. May have touched 5 briefly, but Nick said they just took a big bet on Nevada, and they're all the way back down to -4 or +4 for Nevada right now. So
I think the Pack wins one of these two games. I'm hoping for a split. You know, obviously the sweep would be great. I like this game over. I think that there's going to be a good pace with it. Boise, unlike UNLV, doesn't fire up threes, but they are so efficient getting to the hole.
Right.
They're one of the top three teams in America at points to the paint without having a real huge presence down
right
there too. They're just
everyone good place to get people open.
Really, really good. Leon Rice, great coach. That's a good team. That's a quality team. The Pack historically, basketball-wise, unlike football, has owned Boise State by a lot. And so it's going to be a good test for the Wolfpack. And Nick even alluded to it. I think the Pack's peaking at the right time. I expect them to win one of these two games. It's hard to say which one it'll be.
Dangerous team coming tournament time, John. Dangerous team, especially on neutral.
And I mean that. The Pack was the number one seed a lot in these tournaments from the WAC to the Mountain West. And for the most part, they'd get clipped. It's about time to return that favor and be one of those darlings, the Cinderellas that do it to somebody else. They have the talent.
And the fact that where's the tournament this year?
In Las Vegas.
No. Oh, that's true. Excuse me. I actually went one step further.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
So the tournament is in Indiana. Where?
Indiana.
Do we have any ties to Indiana?
Mr. Basketball in the state of Indiana.
Coach A.
Besides Larry Bird, he is probably the biggest Indiana basketball name that there is, because Damon Bailey sure didn't pan out. But
what about Jimmy Chitwood?
Jimmy Chitwood, exactly. Or Jimmy Chitwood. And if we're going to count Reggie Miller, I guess.
All right, good deal. Like I said, and the one thing that Nick brought up, which he brought up a very good point. He said this Nevada team has a lot of different gears, basically.
Yeah.
He goes, they can play a fast-paced game. They're going to play to the pace of the opponent,
yeah,
and they can execute in both. They can go half-court and play half-court, or they can play at a faster pace.
Yep.
And if you look at their scores, it kind of dictates that. And
yeah,
that's the reason I like the over. You know, I was looking at Boise's – Boise's going to score close to 80. And if the minus four is the right number and Boise gets 80, the game flies over. So that's what I'm looking for. Could be wrong, but, you know, that's all about sports handicapping.
I think the X factor in this game, much with every game, and we saw it towards the end of the last Rebel game, Zane Meeks, his ability at his size to not only dominate down low, but to step out and hit that three. He hit that huge – there was a dagger three that he hit.
And it was nothing but net.
Yeah.
Nothing but net.
He took over, had a nice little post move, and got 2 points on that. Then the next
yep
possession, he got the put back and then stepped out and got the three. Ball game, Zane.
And the problem with that game, though, the first 15 minutes was probably the sloppiest Nevada's played all year.
Besides the second half of the
and
Air Force.
Thanks, good point.
That,
yeah.
Or the entire game against San Francisco.
Right.
But, I mean, everybody –
that's a better team.
I think a lot of people felt that 5.5 again was a trap, considering they blew the doors off of them in the first game.
You can't do that.
I stayed away from it. I liked the total, which didn't hit.
Yeah.
But those first 15 minutes, just easy shots missed, just bad ball control, bad passing. And if they could stay away from playing sloppy like that, this I don't see how this game does not fly over.
The law of large, the law of large numbers, percentages always average out. If you look at the game before that, it went over. But what did the Pack? It didn't go over by much. What, 8 or 9 points, something like that, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, not by much.
And what did the Pack shoot? I mean, they shot lights out. So they came back with the same exact total. And I thought, you know, going back to the law of large numbers or averages, that I thought, well, it has to balance out, and it did. So I made a big bet on the under. And then I made the big bet on the under. It came out. Then I made a big bet on over 126. So I get under 144, over 126. Bingo, right in the middle. I text my buddy Kyle that. I showed him because I didn't want to. I don't like to.
I know Kyle the over.
He did. I know. I didn't say anything. Yeah. And he just texts me back and goes, nice hit, bud. And he can see it. But that was my reasoning. Yeah. Is the Pack maybe a little bit overconfident? You know, the leading score for Vegas is out again.
I was going to say, without Bryce Hamilton, that's just a different Rebel team. Not to take anything away from what the Wolfpack did, but without Bryce Hamilton, it's hard to gauge how good that UNLV team really is.
I can see that. Hey, we tried to – hopefully Spence got mic'd up. He's our board guy. He actually has his own show. Tom, you were listening to Spence today, right?
I was listening to Spence today. He had a couple guests on talking about some good Super Bowl props.
Big game props.
Big game.
Anything props, to do with big, wagering has to be big game.
Big game. Drink. Oh, I got a drink. I did. I violated that rule.
Spence, are you mic'd up?
I am. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
There we go.
All right. Good. How's everybody doing? We're doing great. He said that you had some questions. You had a couple of call-ins with some questions, but do you follow Wolfpack basketball a lot?
I do. Yeah, we here at Lotus, we're the home of the radio broadcast for the Nevada Wolfpack, both men and women's basketball games on our station. So we're very in tune with Nevada.
Do you have any opinion on tonight's game?
Since it's here at home, I have a better feeling about it. I have more confidence. This team on their home floor just seems to have a competitive edge and a confidence to them, a swagger to them. And I think the fact that they get Boise State here at home makes a huge difference versus them having to go on the road and play them. Because I think the youth of this team still hasn't quite put it together in terms of how to get that edge on the road. But here at home, I have more confidence in them, and I think they're going to be able to put up more of a fight against Boise State.
And to their credit, at home, they have a pretty good atmosphere with no fans, with the cheerleaders and the band in the stands. You don't see that all over the country. But the Wolfpack has that. It has a nice home feel to it.
Did you see that, speaking to Zane Meeks, didn't he come out and say something like, there was 12,600 people here, and then Coach A had to call him out on an interview and go, no, there wasn't. And he was talking to Rice.
Oh.
It was kind of a banter. Yeah. It was funny. He goes, I can assure you there's only going to be 50 people here and only the band and the cheerleaders.
Yeah, I wish I was one of them.
Yeah, no doubt. Maybe we'll get there later this year. So I can see what you're saying. I mean, this Wolfpack team at home is just, you know, this Wolfpack team, one of the youngest teams in the entire country, if not the youngest. I mean, what do we have? Everybody's freshmen and sophomores. I think we have one junior, and I always forget who it is.
Is it Cambridge?
No, I think Cambridge is a sophomore. No, because remember, everybody gets a free year this year.
It's because it's the Desmond Cambridge Jr.
Yes.
I think that sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
They're young. They're about to be even more loaded with a couple of those big transfers from Oregon and Texas. It's really exciting right now. And I think that they have the talent right now, especially when it's such – college basketball is so guard-oriented. And when you have a guy like Grant Sherfield running the show for
the one, second coming of the little general.
Yeah, he is.
Cambridge is a junior.
Yeah, okay.
Robbie Robinson's a junior.
Yeah, Robbie's a junior.
And then Zachary Williams is a senior. Everybody else, freshmen and sophomores.
Right.
Which means if they want to take advantage of this extra or non-counting year – Look out when everything gets back to normal and we get to pack that house and just see how off the chain good they're going to be.
I absolutely agree. Boise State 14-2 this year, guys. 10-4-1 versus the spread. 8 overs, 7 unders. Pack 12-7, 13-5 against the spread. 8 out of their 10 games went over, or excuse me, 8 out of their 18 games went over. 9 of their 18 games have went over. They're 9-8-1. So both teams like to play a little bit of a pace. That's the reason I back the over a little bit in this call. And spot, and like Nick said, you know, he thinks the Pack can adapt, you know, to the flow or game pace of the opposing team. And I think Boise is going to want to move up and down the court.
I absolutely agree. It's over. I think that's the only – I'm not going to have anything on the side. I think it's just over for me.
You know, Pac playing really well at home, 7-2 on the year at home, 2-5 away. You know, two of the five losses were versus San Diego State, where they were in the game. They, you know, they could have won easily won both those games.
Yeah.
If the ball, somebody dribbles the ball off their foot in either one of those games, they could have won both games. I mean, that's how well they competed on the road in San Diego State, who we've had a history of not competing there.
Yeah,
both those games were lightly within our reach with under 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that just shows how the character of these kids and how well coached they are and how much fight they have in them. And that's why, again, when we go to Vegas, it's going to be a fight for that conference championship. And I really think we have a great, great shot. And that's not just being a homer. That's
they're
just
not a team that anyone wants to play. I'll tell you that right now. You know, you want to get in that top five, which they're sitting there right now, to get that bye out of that opening round there. So if you get into that, nobody wants to play the Wolfpack as a 5 seed. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. They're the most live 5 seed this conference has seen in years.
In a long, long time.
I can tell you right now, if this Wolfpack team versus back when Caleb and Cody and JC were here, you know, they come in here, you know, you have one down game.
Yep.
I mean, look at those teams back. You know, we fell behind to Fresno State in these teams, you know, that when we were supposed to just dominate teams. I mean, on a neutral, I can't see, you know, you have Boise right here. Let's put this into perspective, guys. Yeah. It's 4 right now, Boise at Nevada. If they're at a neutral, it's probably 5.5, 6, maybe. I mean, that's a winnable game,
yeah.
and that's the dangerous part of that. I mean, the Wolfpack, they're live tonight. I've talked myself into a little bit of Wolfpack money. I'm not gonna bet against
Wolfpack. I'm gonna wait till the half if I do anything on the side.
Like the Nick Bogdanovich said, despite the fact that he had his interview today on ESPN or someplace where he wore a Rebel shirt for the interview, he's back in the pack. So, and like I said, if there's one sport that Nick, from a personal standpoint, excels in when it comes to wagering, it's college basketball. He likes the Pack. He played some college basketball. I can't go against Nick. It's either a pass if I'm on the other side or a back. If I like something and Nick likes it, I double unit. This right here is going to be a pack wager for me.
If the Pack hits 9 threes tonight, they win.
Tony?
I like the over, and kind of like you and I were talking before the show started, probably back Boise the first half and then see what that line is on that second half.
I can see that for sure. Spence, you want to add anything before we go after commercial break?
I think the only thing I would add is bench play. I think Nevada, if they can get some good play off one of two guys there coming off the bench, that's always a good boost for that offense, and they'll need some of that tonight against Boise State.
KJ Himes in particular, I think.
Yeah, KJ Himes or Zane Meeks, he's had some nice games off the bench as well. So if they can get some kind of bench production there, that'll give him a nice boost.
One thing that does concern me just a tad is the emotional letdown after coming off a 2-game beating of Nevada South. And that's, you know, that's that, they're invested in those games. How many games have we won straight now, John? 8?
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. And it'd be 10 if Patrick McCaw didn't hit that 3-quarter court shot in, I think, 16.
Yeah.
So it is unbelievable. From watching the Rebels whip the Pack my whole life to the opposite happening, it's something else. I love every second of it.
All right, Joe. I haven't talked to my buddy Joe Robinson. He's RP.
Joe's kind of quiet in the winter time, it seems.
Yeah, Commander Joe Robinson for RPD, one of our good friends, huge Rebel fan. I haven't talked to him in a while, so if anybody is out there and they know Joe, could you text him real quick? Just make sure he's okay. Tell him to text Kenny. Kenny B.
He's focused on the Knights.
And yeah, exactly. Oh, he's a Knights fan now?
Yeah, he's a big Knights fan.
He's a Knights fan now. All right.
Yeah.
So somebody text Commander Robinson and make sure he's okay.
I told him LVPD's hiring if he wants to go down there.
Oh, there you go.
You know, just get out of here if you hate it so much.
All right. Let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump right in to the big game props, side total, and everything we think about this game. Be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. Coming to you live on ESPN from the Club Count Eva. Getting all set up for the Super Bowl down here. We'll be open. We're going to show the Super Bowl. Come on down. $20 to watch the Super Bowl here and 2 drinks. And it's going to be a madhouse. We have to recognize all social distancing. It's going to be the same way everywhere. So, you know, we have seating in groups of 4.
Yeah, I saw the seating arrangement. That's a good idea the way they have it. I'd have preferred that in the past, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. So you can come down here, and as long as you recognize all the social distancing, you don't get asked to leave. You guys are welcome to come watch Super Bowl. All right.
Come on down and drink these 805 cervezas that are just delicious.
Off the chart.
Yeah. They really are.
All right.
Yeah, all right. 5 beans are cerveza, if you didn't know.
And it's fantastic.
It really is. Mm-hmm. You like Mexican beer, like 805? I don't know why we're doing commercials for them, but
because they're delicious.
You guys got a whole table full of these beers. Yeah. We're getting primed up for the Wolfpack game, Boise. Yes. Wolfpack Boise at 6 o'clock tonight. Boise's 145 up from 144, so a little bit of money coming on the over. That's what I like. I bet the over, and I'm gonna end up back in the pack. Super Bowl. Nick McDonavich, the great handicapper for William Hill that puts up all these lines, was on for the first 20 minutes.
That was cool. It was good. I haven't heard from him live. I mean, besides watching TV and stuff, it was cool to hear from him.
Yeah. So nice to have Nick here. Where do I want to go from this? Let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about prop bets. Let's talk about philosophy and prop bets. And Nick and I kind of had a brief banter back and forth about this. The way to attack prop bets, if you're going to make multiple prop bets, is try to figure out the game flow. Figure out the way you think the game is going to go. Is it going to be a Kansas City blowout? Then, like I said earlier, you will probably want to bet a lot of the Kansas City props over. You know, if it's going to be a Kansas City blowout, instead of laying 3, go to an alternate point spread where you can lay 7.5. And if you lay 7.5, you get plus money on the bet, or if you like Kansas City to win by 10, bet lay 10 in that game. And then you get Kansas City plus even bigger money. So if you think the Tampa Bay is going to win, you know, do the same thing. If you think the game is going to fly over, look at alternate point totals. If you think it's going to play away from character, and like Nick did say, all the wise guys, all the syndicate money is coming in on dog and under in this game. But, you know, if you like it to go under, maybe you go under 50 instead of 56 and get plus money. So anyways, what I'm saying is game flow. I'm going to give you my game flow right now. I think that Kansas City has been sleepwalking. I think Kansas City obviously won the Super Bowl last year. They lose 2 regular season games. One was in week 17, when they rested everybody. I think the Raiders had the game of their lives, and that's the other game that they lost. I think Kansas City jumped ahead in a lot of these games. They took their foot off the gas, allowed teams to backdoor cover them. I think Nick made the comment that they didn't cover in 10 consecutive. I think that's a number he used. And I think that that's just a product of not being focused for 4 quarters. I think in the Super Bowl, it's going to be just like the AFC Championship game. You get Kansas City focused for 4 quarters. And if you can tell me that I'm going to get Kansas City focused for 4 quarters, I think 3 is a light number. I think the game flow, I like Kansas City in the game, and all of my props are going to be correlated to the fact that I think Kansas City is going to score a lot of points.
Yeah, Kansas City at full attention. Sorry, Tom.
Full attention, exactly.
As a dangerous animal. And, you know, when you take the legacy into context, for Patrick Mahomes, you know, you define careers of quarterbacks by Super Bowls. If he wins 2 Super Bowls here, the second one coming against literally Tom Brady, that's for your legacy. Does it get any better than that?
It's the passing of the torch, isn't it?
So does that mean that since Eli's every Super Bowl is against Tom Brady, that puts him
– right. That's why he's a Hall of Famer, by the way.
Just off of that alone?
If that was Drew Bledsoe he was beating, or whoever, I think it raises another notch the fact that they beat the 18-0 Patriots, and you beat Tom Brady, who's – Tom Brady.
And I'm only saying
it's a verb.
As that's true.
Or an adjective.
Adjective. But I'm only saying it is
as a verb.
2-3 years into it, I think all of us see something greater out of Mahomes than we've ever thought we're gonna get out of Eli.
Oh, of course.
And I don't think Mahomes needs this second Super Bowl. I think he'll get it, but I don't think he needs it to go into that top tier. Because if he never wins another one, I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be a higher-rated quarterback than Eli Manning ever will be.
Would you feel different about Russell Wilson if they ran the ball and Marshawn Lynch scored that touchdown and he had 2 straight Super Bowls with the second one against Tom Brady than you do right now?
Honestly, I don't think I'd view him any differently.
Okay. I think Patrick Mahomes is the next quarterback that can actually make it a run at everything that Brady's done. And yeah. I think that when you have that talent behind center – all you have to do
now.
All you have to do now is just for the next 10 years, offensive line, defensive line, and win more Super Bowls. Yeah.
And I think he'll do it thanks to Brady, in terms of he's the type of guy that will restructure his contract to bring in more offensive protection, more offensive weapons, shore up the defense.
I agree.
And if it get if they get three more in the next 10 years,
they will.
It's well worth it.
I wish you could, if you could bet that and give me a price, I would bet.
I'd take it three as well. Yeah.
But game, I want to go back to the original question on game flow. What's your theory on game flow?
I think that for this particular game.
Yeah. So the listeners can correlate what you think about how they want to correlate that to their prop bet.
It was disturbing me when Nick said that the professionals are on Tampa Bay and under, because I think just the opposite. I think that Kansas City can kind of call their own score right here. When they played in the regular season,
21-0 first quarter.
It was just they're running away with it, and then it looked like they took their foot off the pedal.
Well, we said in the last show too that even the only reason the game was close is because Tampa Bay outscored them 14-0 in the fourth.
Yeah,
I mean the game was in hand.
Absolutely.
Now you get a focused Kansas City team in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, there is no next.
Yeah. Kansas City, I don't believe Kansas City scored in the fourth quarter. Maybe a field goal. But anyway.
Yeah. They may not have. Well, and it was at full attention, Kansas City, nothing next week. You have your legacy on the line. They're not going to let this slip away.
Right.
These opportunities, we think it's easy that, you know, they're going to be back. Oh, they'll be back. We don't know that.
It's true.
Do not let this slip away.
And look how loose I think Kansas City is and how uptight Tampa Bay is. Spence, are you there? What do you think about game flow in this game?
You know, I think the first quarter could be the most defensive quarter of the game. I think as it unfolds, both offenses will kind of open it up. But I think it's going to be back and forth. I see a lot of lead changes occurring throughout this game. I think it comes down to whoever has the ball last. I think it probably is Kansas City. And I think it's just kind of back and forth. And it's more of a grind. I don't think kind of to what you were saying, Kenny, that first game where Kansas City got out to the huge lead, then Tampa Bay able to kind of make it close there at the end. I don't think that's what we're going to see here. I think you're not going to see a team just explode and get out to a big lead here early. I think both offenses are going to kind of build into the game the first quarter, and then second quarter onward, I think both the offenses really just show up.
And Spence, going back to, you know, that comment right there about slow starts and stuff like that, let's say Kansas City falls behind 10-0. I'm still not worried. I'm still not worried that Kansas City can't come back. However, if Tampa Bay falls behind 10-0, I can really see a Kansas City blowout.
Well, yeah. Touching a little bit on what Spence said about the first quarter, Kansas City this year traditionally has been a very slow starter. Not scoring touchdowns on their opening drives, kicking the field goals instead of scoring a touchdown, but then they turn it on. So I think if you're going to bet a quarter under, that first quarter might be the one to go under the 10.5. So
a lot of people are doing that.
And then, Ken, with your game flow, would you bet – I was trying to find the price on the prop sheet, but there's so many here I can't find it. Do you think both teams will score in every quarter?
No, that's a good – only the price has to be there. The price has to be there. Hold on one quick. Jess Peterson from Peterson Wealth Management, my girlfriend's company that they – Peterson Wealth Management. If you're looking to invest money, go to Peterson Wealth Management. But he wanted to get off course a little bit. He wants to know if I like the over in the Wolfpack Boise State game. Yes, Jess, I like the Wolfpack game to go over tonight.
Can we
get GameStop tell you this right now.
From him?
As soon – what's that?
Can we get GameStop stock from him?
Too late.
Yeah, too late. As soon as I can tell you right now, Jess, as soon as the AFC Championship game was over, he says, "What's the line?" I said, 3.5. I hope you're listening, Jess, because you're going to like this. So as soon as the Kansas City Buffalo Bill game was over, Jess texts me. He goes, "What's the line?" I said, 3.5. He Venmo'd me a bunch of money and goes, bet Kansas City for me.
Yeah,
I didn't bet it. Listen, I hope you're listening, Jess. Oh, okay. I didn't bet it because I knew that it was going to 3. Yeah. So I held on to the wager.
Nice.
So, Jess, you do not have -3.5. You have -3, and you're welcome.
How about buying the hook to 2.5 for
it? Maybe. I don't know.
It's your treat.
It's -1. Well, it's -120 right now. -120 at -3.
Yeah, it is.
If I do, I'm going to have to play minus.
140?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Jess, you got -3.
There you go.
So, all right. With that being said, all that stuff, game flow, that was a plug for Peterson Wealth Management. They got a lot of money invested in there, and I know they do a fantastic job on returns. So if you're looking to invest your money, Peterson Wealth Management. Okay. Where are we at right now? Not up against traffic. We've got a little bit longer to go. What?
Spence, what, you said you had a caller that had a question about a really obscure, weird prop bet for us.
Yeah, we had a caller named Roger call in. He was curious how you guys felt about yes or no, whether or not Patrick Mahomes would complete a behind-the-back pass. Not just attempt one, but complete a behind-the-back pass.
Well, that's all price dictated for me. Yes, I can see him. He's so fun-loving and happy and just all over the place and jolly. I can see him trying to pull that off, you know, maybe run into the right sideline, you know, because I don't think he can be scrambling to his left. He's going to get, but if he's going to his right at full speed, I can see him trying to pull that off.
Roger, if you're listening, I'll give you plus 2,000 that he's not going to attempt to behind the back pass.
Attempt or complete? That.
Complete.
Roger. Roger.
Attempt or complete.
Roger, you need to come down and hand JD a dollar just so we can see him pay this off.
He's not a U-triple-S-A softball pitcher. I don't think he is.
What if he is?
He might be, exactly.
Missouri's got a big U-trip all following right there.
Yeah. Hold on, guys. This is one of those times we're about 15 seconds away from having to go off the traffic. So, you know, Spence, we got traffic in 10 seconds. If you gave me the right price, I'll bet anything. So I think there's a take price on that. I'm just not sure what it is. So, all right, let's go off to our – we have to go off the traffic. So we're back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show, sponsored by Peterson Wealth Management here at the Club County. We had Nick Bogdanovich on earlier. I'm your host, Kenny B. You can like the show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Got John the Hawk Stevens to my right. You were posting stuff on – or Sherry Siri was posting stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, right? We had – from this room 2 years ago, the Super Bowl, I had a nice little picture of all of us. Unfortunately, the Patriots won that Super Bowl. So hopefully Brady doesn't. Actually, you know what? This feels weird, even though I'm betting the Chiefs. I wouldn't mind seeing Brady win the Super Bowl.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I realized that I didn't hate them. I hated the Patriots.
All right. Tommy Thompson over there, independent handicapper. Tommy?
Just happy to be here talking Super Bowl with good friends and good
big
beer.
Game.
And
big game.
Big game. Big I know that's game. Twice. I got a drink again.
All right. Nick Bogdanovich.
You said it like four times.
Nick Bogdanovich was on earlier, and not here tonight is Josh Nagel. He's actually tied up at work. He's a beat writer for sportsline.com. So Josh has got a lot of stuff posted on Sportsline. You go to sportsline.com, follow Josh Nagel, and he'll give you all of his prop bets. We've been posting prop bets all week on our Facebook page, too. That's Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. And so let's just jump right into these prop bets. I want to give out two prop bets that Nick gave out in the first segment. He likes Mahomes rushing yards over. He said that this line opened at 31, and the wise guys bet this down so hard, they must be anticipating his ankle still being immobile a little bit, and it's actually down to 21. So you get a 10-point.
That could be one play.
It could be one play, exactly. He thinks he might eclipse that in two runs if he takes off in two runs. So, you know, Nick likes over 21 rushing yards by Patrick Mahomes. And he also likes the bet that I bet every year and lose every year. This year he likes over 2.5 people to attempt a pass. Yeah. So not complete a pass, but just attempt a pass.
Yeah, and if you think that Mahomes isn't healthy, I mean, you're going to catch that easily.
Right.
Right.
And one of our bettors wants to make a wager that Patrick Mahomes is going to complete behind the back catch.
That's Roger. That's classic Roger for you.
Yeah. All right. All right, John, what do you got? I mean, I probably got 40 bets in right now.
Yeah, I have a bunch too. You know, we agree on some of the ones that Tyreek Hill over his longest
reception. 37.5
yards. I love that. Mahomes' longest completion.
That's correlated.
Absolutely.
Which is 10 more yards in that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here's the deal. If you like listen, if you like Tyreek Hill over 37.5 yards.
Yeah.
Okay. That means 10 more yards. Mahomes gets there too. So if he catches it for 38 yards, he has to get tackled before he gets to 47 or it's a double win.
Right.
That's my point. So I'm with you guys. I correlated that too, John, with the, and I bet it early. You have to understand, there's a lot of square money that comes in on the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So if you light stuff over, you have to bet it early in the week.
That's right.
Because the squares, the public comes in. It's just like the Kentucky Derby. You get people that only bet one time a year, the Super Bowl. And they don't really understand overs and unders. They just want to root for an exciting game. So by the time the numbers come out and you get to the closing number, it's getting hammered by the public betting everything
over. Yeah. So if you like unders, you wait closer to kickoff. If you like overs, you bet the numbers as soon as they come out.
I had a fun one, a Scotty Miller will attempt a rush plus 350. And my thought process in that, remember Scotty Miller caught the touchdown pass right going into the half against the Packers last week. Fast, fast dude. And he's had a little back and forth with Tyreek all week, or last for 2 weeks, about, you know, racing.
Who's the, yeah.
Who's fast and everything. So I think maybe they throw him a bone and get, have a little end around to Scotty Miller, cast that 350. Just need one carry. I can see that happening easily. And those are always the fun ones that when they do hit, and you just, you have a little gravy train right there.
Well, and that's the beauty is the value of that. And it's, I don't want to say pettiness, but it's the fact that there is that back and forth. You know, they're in the coach's ears, like, "Hey, get me one chance, one time." Just like with what I talked about earlier with the Gronk to get a touchdown. You know, I'm a Niner guy, so Montana and Rice the best. They're tied with Gronk and Tom right now. And well, that you're a Steeler guy, so I get it. But one trip to the house, and now Tom and Gronk have that all to themselves, yeah. And they're not. And I could see them saying, "Hey, let's do this. Let's get it done." And I was able to get it at plus 195. It's gone down to 175. There's still value in it. I mean, you know, throw 20, 30 bucks on it as a listener if you want to. You'll still get a little out of it.
Game wise, I talk a lot about teams stretching the rubber band, and I think the Buccaneers have done that. Just getting to this point, you know, winning these games on the road against team, you know, as a dog each time. Tom Brady getting to this point is unbelievable. It's just, they've already accomplished something unbelievable. I think that rubber band is just about to burst in the Chiefs' role in this one. I don't know why I thought of that because we're talking about the props, but that's how I think about the game. So, what else you like in any props as far as you mentioned Kelsey. You like that he will score a touchdown?
I think he's going to score a touchdown as well. I was trying to see what the value in that one is.
There's not a lot of value in that one. It's up to minus 180 now that he will.
Yeah.
Which adds a tight end. That's unbelievable. You can see that as a big running back. This is Derrick Henry or something.
Yeah. Kansas City has so many offensive weapons. Yeah. I don't know if I would want to lay 180 for that because, I mean, Sammy Watkins is – healthy upon what everybody's saying.
I have Nicole Hardman to score the first touchdown. He does that sometimes. They have so many weapons.
And that's why I like a lot of these props over, because there's so many weapons. The defense, they're not going to be myopic and focused on one person, but if you focus on two, you still have two other really good weapons right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think you're going to get a lot of action out of Le'Veon Bell. I think you're going to see him. And that's why I like the total rushing attempts over 5.5. I think that gets there.
I have Ronald Jones receiving yards over 5.5 yards. I think the way that Tom Brady has historically thrown to running backs, and Fournette is over 3.5 receptions.
Bill Krakenberger, one of the sharpest minds in all of sports, he actually made that.
He did?
Yeah. Leonard Fournette receptions over.
Yeah, I like
already, that. And I bet.
I like that. I mean, Brady, he does that.
Spence, what do you got, buddy?
You know, going back to kind of who will score that first touchdown, I kind of like the idea of, you know, it might not be one of those highlight guys, might not be a Travis Kelce or a Tyreek Hill because of how much they burned Tampa Bay the first game. You know, I feel like they're going to make an effort, especially at the start of the game, to hold those guys down and not try to get burnt by them right out of the gate like they did. So again, I kind of like you guys were saying, I like, you know, if Tampa Bay or if Kansas City has a down and goal and they're 5 or 6 yards out, I could see a Leonard Fournette getting it, or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, maybe he pops up on the opening drive or the second drive and gets that first score. Again, to Tommy's point, maybe it's Rob Gronkowski. You know, you have him run a quick 5-yard curl, post up there in the end zone, put it on his chest, and he gets the first score.
Your all time, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, 22-1. And Gronk's 14-1. So, I mean, there's some value in that. And, you know, talking about Tampa Bay receiving the ball to go down and score, it's plus 120 for them to be the first team to score 10 points. And if they go down and put 7 up right away, I mean,
you're really close to cashing that ticket in. So I think there's some value in that one as well.
The prop of the shortest touchdown being inside 1.5 hits every time.
And you bet it over every time.
Every time. So this time, inside the one, Tom Brady's basically your Earl Campbell.
He might QB sneak it from the two. He's Earl Campbell.
Brady at 22-1, greatest QB sneaker we've ever seen. Come on.
Well, I mean, was it at the Patriots that we had the first team? Well, we didn't have it, but the better had it at like 500-1 that the first score was going to be a safety. Was it the Patriots game?
Patriots Giants.
Exactly.
First one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
then Seahawks and Broncos.
Seahawks and Broncos. You can
get that like 30-1 now.
two Mannings.
Nick kept trotting out 1,000-1.
I always said the will there be a safety, not for a score.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. He probably meant that, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, going back to what you said, John, Fournette reception over 3.5 is -1.
Love. It should be.
You know, hey, Spence, one of the prop bets I bet this year for fun, you know, you were talking about Roger having the prop bet about the will Mahomes complete a behind the back pass. I bet that there'll be a missed field goal that hits the upright.
What's the plus money?
Plus $3 and something.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, one, there's value to throw 10, 20 bucks just because, but look how many field goals and missed extra points have come from hitting the post and bouncing out.
Spence, you want to weigh? What do you think about that bet?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, ever since they've moved that extra point back, it seems that the mentality of kickers has been kind of shifted. It's been knocked off the confident level they were at. So I like it. I think with how many kicks we've seen miss this year, field goal and extra point, to Tommy's point, I think this that's a smart bet to take, especially, you know, there is a chance that it could be some stormy weather there in Tampa Bay this weekend. So you never know.
I was going to say that.
It could definitely affect the way the ball is snapped, the way it's held, the way it's kicked. So I like that a field goal might be missed by hitting off the post.
Plus 310, yes, that it hits the post. Yeah. Plus 310. I mean, and like you said, Smith, and I was going to touch upon that. You know, now they're starting to say there might be some spots of weather there with a little moisture on the field. So I mean, so many things can happen. And then, and I like the longest field goal over too, because I think Andy Reid is—he's more likely to roll the dice and maybe roll the kicker for Butker. Is it Butker? The kicker for
Butker
for Kansas City rolling out to attempt a 50-yarder. So I like the longest field goal by Kansas City also.
I thought we're just ignoring the fact that the Buccaneers are playing this game at home. It matters at all, but it's weird that they're playing at home.
It's very weird. I don't know if it gives them an advantage, because they haven't played in front of people at all.
There's no advantage because the NFL came out and said they can't shoot the cannon. So there's no advantage.
Okay. I mean.
Did you hear that? It was a big issue.
Was it? Okay.
They had to get a ruling from the NFL. So no, they can't shoot the cannon. No.
Now, one of the.
Isn't it ironic? Think about this. Didn't Tampa Bay
it's like rain.
Just play three road games? And now they've got the Super Bowl at home.
It's really weird.
Chris, did you hear that?
I did hear that. That it doesn't seem like that would make too big of a difference. I feel like if they can fire their cannon off or not.
No. What about the fact
you're a Wolfpack fan? It makes a difference.
Didn't Tampa Bay play three road games and now they're coming? Now they're playing Super Bowl at home. That's just
so weird. It ends weird.
Yeah, it's almost like the ultimate pat on the back. Like, hey, congratulations, you guys just won three road games. Yeah. Now you get to go home and play the big game at your own stadium.
And speaking of listening to Spencer's show, yesterday you talked about the mayor of Tampa Bay saying if the Buccaneers win, he wants to change the city name to Tampa Bay.
Yes, he made a claim that if Tampa Bay were to win the game on Sunday, that he would like to formally – put it out there, they should rename the city Tampa Bay.
And if that's not a good excuse to try and will the Chiefs to win, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. We're not going to have to get to that point.
The one prop bet that I think has a lot of value that I kind of like the more I kind of look at this.
Hold off on that. We have to go after our last commercial break, Tommy. Go up against their colleague. I don't know why this just dawned on me that Tampa Bay possibly. If they score 30 points this game, they'll score 30 points in all the playoff games, which is that's a first. They score 31, 30, and 31. And I just realized they played three road games and now they got the Super Bowl at home. That's just absolutely crazy. The Does life get any better for Tom Brady? Can he get any more lucky? All right, don't answer that. We'll talk for our last commercial break. We'll come back and we'll rapid fire some prop bets on ESPN 94.5. Welcome back to the last segment of the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B. We're going to post all of our prop bets or a lot of our prop bets on our Facebook page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. So jump on there and get into that. Nick Bogdanovich was on the first half. He's the lead trader for William Hill. He gave out a couple of prop bets he liked. He likes the Pack tonight. That's the reason we're on a little bit early tonight, because the Pack tips off versus Boise State at 6 o'clock. Pack getting 4 points, 4.5 points, total of 144 right here at Lawler. John the Hawk Stevens to my right, thanks for coming on, being part of the big game prop show. Tommy Thompson, same to you. Josh Nagel back at Sportsline. He's going to text us some prop bets for the big game also. We'll get those posted on our Facebook page at Kennedy ESPN Sportsman. Kevin, Jess Peterson blowing up my phone right now. I don't know what Jess Peterson from Peterson Wealth Management. He's probably telling me, if you guys have any money that you want to invest, go to Peterson Wealth Management, invest with them. That's probably what
I'm saying. If I had any money, I would do
it. You have a lot of money.
Invest in silver.
Invest in silver. All right. Where are we at? I just went and got my prop bet. The two prop bets that Nick Bogdanovich came out, he's the head trader for William Hill. He likes Mahomes rushing yards over 22.5. He said it's up to, excuse me, he liked it over the original number, which was 31. He bet it at over 21 because the wise guys bet it so much, it moved 10 points to the under. And I just checked on the break, it's up to 22.5. So it was a 31.5 to 22.5. I just bet it on the break over 22.5. He also likes one bet that I bet every year that I've never won is the number of players to attempt a pass. He likes it over this year, over 2.5. I bet it every year. I wasn't going to bet it this year, but I follow Nick. I'm going to bet it.
I can see Tampa Bay doing the Philly special, trying to get redemption for Brady.
I think it's the year that no, I backed off.
Because they both.
I hit it one time.
Yeah.
One time.
Both teams
did it that year.
Did it that year. Brady didn't catch his. And B and Nick did.
Yeah.
Or B and D.
All right.
I was going to say B and D. I have a Wolfpack related prop that I like.
There you go. Oh, number 3 points made versus.
For the Sunday game, Boise State. And Boise is not a state, by the way. And Nevada, 3 pointers made, less than the total points in the second quarter. That's so minus 130.
So what JD is saying, that Nick has a line out there, the total number of 3-point baskets made in Sunday's basketball game between Nevada and Boise State, whatever that number is, how many they make for the whole game versus the total points
in the second quarter.
In the second quarter, just the second quarter.
I think you win that with two touchdowns. Because Boise is not a great 3-point shooting team. Wolfpack can be, but they can also not be. So I think if you lay 14 is my thought. If you lay 14 right there, I like that, the prop of the total points in the second quarter over the total 3-point field goals for both.
Let me do a little bit of math here. 56 divided by 4 equals that. That's 14. So your average 14, you know, they always look at these games to score slow. I don't think you're going to get 14 points in the first quarter. So maybe you add back in.
Second quarter is the key.
Yeah, exactly. You add back in a short field to open. So you're looking at least another extra 3.5 points there. And I think it's 17, John. The great thing about it is look at game four tonight. Boise State, Nevada play tonight. See how many they make tonight. Don't see how many they make. See how many they attempt.
And then go
with the season averages and kind of put that together. Because Nick and these guys put this up line without knowledge. You have knowledge because you compare tonight's game and how many three-pointers are made or how many are attempted.
That is one huge benefit of playing these back-to-backs. You know, we do get to look at that and see how many – because Boise's going to be the key in that. Because like John referenced, they don't shoot a lot of threes traditionally. That maybe that changes. Maybe they're trying to rewrite their playbook to try and match our game flow. You never know.
Gets a lead and Boise –
But I can see the Pack playing with their rhythm, so not shooting a lot of threes, trying to score a lot in the paint, and just going back and forth. So I always
like looking at those props like that with the Wolfpack lead, just to kind of get involved in both of them, because it's a 1 o'clock game, it's right before two.
Not only that,
or the second, big game, whatever it was.
Second games tend to play a little bit tighter than the first game.
It's
Spence, what do you got, buddy? You like any of that knowledge that we just dropped on you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are more the kind of fun prop bets to look at, ones that aren't just about the sole big game. If they also, you know, sometimes they have NBA games added into them that happen on that same day. So I'm right there with you guys. Watch the game tonight. Take some notes on three-pointers attempted, and then, take Saturday to think it over and make your bet on Sunday.
There's a Golden Knights prop in there, saves. Tom, you have the booklet in front of you. I don't know if you can find it real quick, but having the Vegas Golden Knights in there, that's fun as well.
What will be
on,
more?
Hold on, Tommy, right there. Hold on before you feel that. Hey, Spence, real quick. I know you have your own show. Why don't you plug that show? What are you on?
The Spencer Wilson Show, it's right here on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. It's on Mondays Monday through Thursday from 2 to 3 p.m., and then Fridays we go 1 to 3 p.m.
What are you talking about on ESPN Sports?
You guessed it, Kenny. How'd you know? All right. Yeah, you know, we keep it local. We try to do some national storylines as well, so we like to get a good mix of it in there.
All right, good deal. Make sure you join Spence. You join us, make sure you join Spence. He's our board guy back at the radio station, and he's a great guy, and he's a lot of knowledge, and he's always welcome here. I'm glad we got you on this. Thanks, bud.
Oh, thank you guys very much for having me. Love the show.
Las Vegas Golden Knights saves versus Scotty Miller receiving yards.
Or Scotty Miller, here we go.
I would take the saves. Receiving yards.
Receiving yards.
Oh.
So you're typically looking at in the 30s for saves, 40s if, you know, who they play. That's another big thing.
There's one bet for the goalie.
There's a lot of variables with this.
So they play the Kings.
Okay, not a great offensive team.
So that's going to be low scoring.
That's a great bet.
I like Scotty Miller.
Well, and then here's the other one in reference to the Golden Knights is Vegas Golden Knights goals versus JPP's solo assist and assisted tackles.
I like the Knights there.
I like the Knights because I think they get to five or above. And
really? Goals?
Yeah.
They're wrong to bet that game over on Sunday.
And I think JPP maybe two and a half.
Knights in both of them. Oh, no. I like Scotty Miller in the first one. I like the
Knights
in the Bulls in the second one. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Couple
things I like in this, we talked about a little bit. Will Kansas City have a rushing touchdown? I bet yes. It's minus $2, but I still think Kansas City probably gets a rushing touchdown. Tony, I like Tom Brady to score a touchdown in this game. I really do. A rushing touchdown. Yeah. I really do. I like that. That was a good point that you brought up earlier because he's vain enough that he'll run it in.
Yep.
And it's not even – sure, he's vain enough, but he's also the master of it.
Yeah. One of the things that we talked about, guys, Tyreek Hill's longest reception over 27 and a half. We all bet that. We all agree to
what's
that.
What's it at now?
29 and a half. So 2 yards better.
Got it at
27. Spence, you heard us talk about that last week. Do you like Tyreek Hill longest reception over 27 and a half yards?
I do. Yeah, I feel like Tampa Bay, because of how he burned him in the first game, is going to try and hold him back in the first quarter, but he's just too explosive to hold back for four quarters. So, yeah, I like that one all the way.
And the Mahomes bet that we did went up 7 or 8 yards just the very next day. It went up into the 40s from 37 and a half to like 43 and a half immediately. So
it's 43 and a half right now.
Yeah.
So it goes back to the philosophy, listener. Figure out the game flow, what you like. You're going to make a lot of prop bets and bet your prop bets accordingly. Like we said, we bet it over early because we knew, we bet it over early because we knew it was going to be driven up. If you like unders in these prop bets, bet it late. John, real quick, we got a couple minutes here is all. What do you got?
I already bet the Chiefs money line. I don't want to mess with the points. The price was low enough to get that done. And you know, I like it over. I don't mean to be square about it, but I think the focused, ready Chiefs team is
four quarters.
Too much to handle. Four quarters is too much to handle. And $1 million.
$1 million.
Which laid out.
And we'll post those on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Tommy?
I like the Chiefs laying the points with the over. For that exact reason, I think they kind of played coy a little bit. They weren't really tested. And so I think this is turn on the intensity. I think it's going to be a very high scoring game, regardless of weather. And then just one of the value props, it's +575 right now. It is possible this game goes to overtime because they are such a pretty closely matched game. So, hey, get some value in that +575.
I like that the game will be tied after 0-0. Tommy, if you like the overtime prop and you really like it, you got to bet that the game's going to be tied after 0-0.
Absolutely. Correlate them.
I like the fact that there'll be a lead change in the second half. I like the wager that both teams will lead in the first half. You know, things of that nature. That's what we're talking about when it comes to game flow. Right now, Kansas City favored by 3, a total of 56. I like Kansas City, and we touched upon this over and over.
John White just texted with the Chiefs as well. Ben's a huge Chiefs fan.
So. Yeah, he's a huge Chiefs fan, and he likes – and Ben's a dog and under better. He's a sharp guy.
He is.
Fact, and I with you, Ben White. I like the fact that you get a four-quarter focus, motivated
Chiefs. Ben's a Raiders fan. I don't want to throw you on the bus. Today. All
right. Kansas City for me, John.
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Spence. Whoa, KC
and over. I like it, Spence.
All right. We're going to post the rest of our prop bets all the way up to game time on our Facebook page at Kennedy Beach Sports Handicapping. See you next week. Good luck, handicappers.